The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. From the heart of New York City and the tri-state area to the most active real estate hotspots across America. Keeping you plugged in to the latest real estate market trends, from mortgage news and legal developments to everything you need to know about buying or selling a property, benefited by the advice of the experts. Now, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back. So thrilled to have Lucas on, who's great. Now I have another great guest, and this is a topic that is so important today, and everyone's trying to be aware of it. I have David L. Trout, CAPS, and he's a certified aging in place specialist. And he's the owner and president of T Square Company and the author of Age in Place at Home: Adapting the Home Environment for All. And I know, being in the business so long, that so many people have lived in a home for a long time and they don't want to leave. And so David is going to talk about, is it viable to age in place? Can you stay in your home? David, I'm thrilled to have you on the show. Okay, and it's such an important topic. Can you talk to us a little bit how you got into this?
Sure. And first, thanks for having me on your show, because I think this is really good information for a lot of folks. And it's not just about age. It's about ability in the home. I had done accessibility work over 20 years for commercial jobs, and we had to do special modifications in the commercial end of it to accommodate people. So from getting into the building, getting into the common areas, getting into the offices. And then I started looking at the residential market, which I'm guilty of as other people in building status quo homes, only because people are just waiting in line for homes. They're not really thinking about their future. And I was looking for a credential that was a national certification that not only told people I knew what I was doing, but it represented it. And that is brought through the National Home Builders Association. So everybody that has a CAP certificate is registered in Washington.
So when you talk to someone about modifying a home,
mm-hmm.
What do you
need
people to do this?
Well, I think just familiarity and being frugal with their money at the end of their lifestyle. It's just important, and also the safety that your existing home offers. So I walk into someone's home, I evaluate their personal physical needs as compared to the existing home layout, starting at the curb, and move into the house. And then I need to figure out what modifications will help their quality of life, keeping them safe and comfortable, and a design comes. So it's about... it's a very custom market. It's about abilities and people's certain needs.
You know, I have a story that I wish I would have kind of knew you then, but my dad, his home was like, forget it. We lived in a very nice area, but it was a regular Cape Cod house, good school district, all friendly neighbors. And my dad loved it, and he fixed it, and he built things, and he was so proud of it. Anybody that came, he would have to give them a tour. And when he got older, I think he was about 80-something, he started to get the beginning signs of dementia. And they scared us, told us, which was, of course, you know, you don't know, you've got to move him out. He really can't have a home. Now, this home was his life. And my mom had died when I was 10. It was a home that she loved that they bought, which was above their price range, but they bought it anyway. And he didn't want to move. And we forced him to move. And it was a really hard adjustment for him. And as I later learned that when somebody has dementia or they're older, their friends are there, their neighbors are there, they're comfortable there. And had I really known that, I was just told all the negative things that could happen if he stayed in his home. I didn't know. Because we could have probably modified this home to something that would have been good for him. What's the process someone would have to go through?
Well, I think, like I say, you've got to identify the needs that have changed physically for the client, and then you go and come up with the design. But you're looking for, especially like in your dad's case, safety and familiarity of the home surroundings. And when families desire to stay in that home, you know, especially with dementia, you've got to not only child-proof, but you've got to adult-proof a lot of the home and keep them out of certain areas where they could get harm. And it's really up to that individual client's needs. And that's exactly what I would do with your dad. Is I would find out, you know, I don't want him going into the kitchen and getting hurt with knives, etc. And that's where the adult proofing comes in. It's a challenge. It is really a challenge because they have long-term, they know where things are. And versus a child, you can head them off. But an adult, it's different. And then the family feels guilty in a way because they're being kept out of certain parts of the house. But it's all about the safety of that person.
Now, do you find it's mostly older adults that want to do this, or it's any, you know, it doesn't matter. Maybe somebody has a certain problems that they can't maybe make steps anymore or something like that. Do you find it's not only older clients, it's mixed about who calls you and uses you?
It really has to do with the person that we're trying to make the modifications for, to give them accessibility. And you can have a special needs child that you need to modify the home for. Of course, things are going to be lower. You could have, you yourself as a homeowner could have a debilitating disease like MS or ALS, and you know what's coming. So you need to proactively prepare that home for when you age into that. I have a client right now with MS, and he can't get into the bathroom or function. And, you want to help them. And the only way you can help them is by the knowledge of the home industry and the modifications that you prove for them. You can be sitting there in your home, everything's great, and all of a sudden you have an elderly parent move in with you. And so you've got to modify it for them if they've got any kind of mobility needs, for sure.
So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how do they reach you? Or you have a site? Or how do they get you?
I've got a website, and they can Google accessibility. I'll come up, and it's my T-Square company. It's www.tsquareco.com. And then my book, Age in Place at Home is available on Amazon. It's like a design Bible for the home. It takes people through why our status quo homes do not offer adaptability. I kind of go through the whole universal design process, which is great because that caters to everyone. It's not just about a certain age. And then the second half of the book, I go room by room by room and apply universal design. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, in fact, you know, the end line of my whole book is it just makes good sense.
Yeah, so for those of you who are driving, don't try to write this all down. I will take this information and I'll post it on all my sites and I'll post it on 970 so that you can get the information. Because honestly, I really, really tell you this is something close to my heart and I see so much of it going on. And I didn't know at the time. And again, when my father first was diagnosed, he was normal. I mean, you wouldn't know he had dementia or the beginnings of it. And when I told my brother, they didn't even believe me. And I found out later on, after it was too late, that to move him is traumatic and that you want to leave the people loved around them. And I didn't know that. We moved him out. We sold his furniture. We bought him new. We did everything that was really incorrect, not on purpose, just because we were uninformed.
Right. Well, the comfort, the familiarity of the existing home, plus the expense of going to assisted living, it just makes more sense to stay at your home and modify it and make it comfortable and safe for that person according to their needs.
Right.
I wish I'd known back then to fix your father's house for you.
Yeah, no, I just wish I knew that then. I really, because it was really traumatic for him. And it was quite a joy. His neighbors were there for all the years.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
moved him to an over, I think it was over 55 or over 60 community. And it was a nice apartment, but he couldn't bring his tools. I mean, he couldn't do all the stuff that he did in fixing his home. And it just really killed him. So, If everyone needs a difference, but you can still have a nurse or somebody if they need help. So what do you do with people who can't do stairs, or let's say their doorways are narrow, or there's certain things that you look for?
Yeah, so you go in, assess the home, number one. Like I say, you start at the curb, work your way in. What you're looking for really is a no-step entry. That's a killer, and then you've got to be able to get people not only into the home, but through the doors. And you want doors that are all 36 inches wide, because 32 is the minimum for any kind of clear, maneuverable pass. So, but bear in mind, when you start widening doors, you're gonna involve framing and electrical and flooring, and it's just not a simple process of widening a door. But they all need to be 36 inches, and then if you got hallways in your house that are 36 inches. That's not good. You need to go towards 48. And that takes a lot of building knowledge to be able to alter that, to get it wide enough for people to be able to clearly maneuver down through the house. So
you mentioned before that, people have to do this. You know, now we went the route with assisted living. We went to all those places. They're a mere fortune. But on top of that, my dad wanted to be in his home. So when someone buys a home, do you recommend that they wait till they're at a point where maybe they can't walk that well or they can't do stairs? Or should they be doing that? Is there a time when they should do it, like before anything is wrong? Or do you wait till something, you know, and of course some people have needs right away, like if they have a child of a special need. When do you recommend that they at least inquire about it or read your book, at least at what time do they do that?
It's really according to the health of the homeowner and or their family.
Right.
If they, you know, if they bring people in, especially with multi-generational families, you're going to have needs, and people, as soon as they can, need to find an aging in place specialist. That's CAPS, and therefore they can start with a design early and be able to enjoy it longer. And when you've got universal design in your house, you really have got a situation where you don't have to do additional modifications later. It's built in. So if someone does, say, move into your house, an elderly in-law or something, you're set. And but you need to always, you know, obtain professional help to ensure this. And the NHBA CAPS program that's in Washington, there is a list. Everybody's registered on it, and they can call and find someone in their area. You don't want to have, you know, a well-meaning family member trying to help you or a handyman. The knowledge that comes with this is very particular, and you need not even an architect is aware of it. If they're not CAPS certified, they might have a 3-hour course. But all the time I find these, you know, people just don't understand it. They have an idea, but they don't understand. So,
well,
you want
like yourself.
Yeah. You want to seek professional help.
Yeah. If somebody was thinking of aging in place or considering, obviously they should read your book and go to your website. But what advice do you have for anybody considering aging in place?
I think the best thing to do is assess your home yourself and see what doesn't fit before you start and reach out to that CAPS member. And try to project your future according to your home and see what you might think is going to work. You got family members to see, friends to see, and just make it accessible for you, not just the time, but that's where the universal design comes in. If you can get your home going with that, and you can phase it. You don't have to do all of it at one time. The order of importance is the bathroom, the kitchen, and the living areas. And you can phase that out. Once you have that universal design aspects in that home, you're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, so you said the most important things is the bathroom, the kitchen. What kind of things would you do in the bathroom? Would you make, you know, because I remember, you know, with my dad, it was difficult. The tub wasn't big enough. What kind of modifications? And if you're thinking of aging in place, you know, even if you're fine, it's not, you're not going to hurt you. But what kind of things do you recommend people doing? We're going to just have a quick commercial. And I'm just curious before you... and I hope you come back again. Just give us some, you know, little bits of what are some of the things that you think would consider doing before you actually need to be aged. We'll be right back. We have a quick commercial. And we'll be back with David Trout, who is a certified aging in place specialist.
We'll be right back. Hey, Joe Piscopo here. If you need a Cadillac, you got to see my good friend Bill Camastro at Gold Coast Cadillac, awarded Cadillac Dealer of the Year 27 times. Bill's team is the gold standard of customer service from start to finish. It's first class all the way. Speaking of service, are you part of the Gold Club yet? Bill takes care of you, your family, your friends with the Gold Coast Cadillac Gold Club. Sign up online at goldcoastcadillac.com for service benefits that you can share with friends and family, even if they didn't buy from Gold Coast. Gold Coast is getting even bigger and better with its brand new service facility expected to be completed by early 2024. Gold Coast Cadillac in Oakhurst, New Jersey. Bill took care of me, and he's going to take care of you, too. Shop GoldCoastCadillac.com or call Bill directly at 845-568-7336. Shop GoldCoastCadillac.com or call Bill directly at 845-568-7336.
We can tell you about the incredible success we bring to local businesses, but it's better when it comes directly from our satisfied clients. Here's just one example.
After searching for a new vendor to handle my search marketing campaign, I contacted Salem Surround after seeing the great work they did for another restoration company in the different market. Their team of experts recommended a mix of multiple tactics designed to get my business the most quality leads at the lowest cost, making my marketing budget stretch further. In our first year partnering with Salem Surround, we recorded our best year to date. And I've told many people how blessed I was to find them. The representative answered the phone every time I called and quickly addressed any questions or concerns I had.
Let Salem Surround give you an absolutely free audit of your current marketing and show you what your competition is doing. Then we come up with a personalized plan that's perfect for your needs. Google Salem Surround New York and let our marketing experts help you achieve real success. Remember to Google Salem Surround New York today.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala. Many students finish college without a clear path towards a career. Do you know a graduate in this position? Well, tell them about Plaza College's accelerated program in court reporting, which allows them to speed their way into the legal field and make great money without going to law school. This is an in-demand, lucrative career with flexibility that more people need to know about. I speak to the district attorney's offices often, and they are in dire need of court reporters. Courts, schools, and television stations are all seeking these professionals to record and caption everything from depositions, classes, live shows, and sporting events. And the National Court Reporters Association has partnered with Plaza College to offer a free 2-week virtual seminar that gives a glimpse into the world of court reporting and captioning. The program is called A to Z and is being offered free and can be completed from the convenience of your home. So sign up today by emailing info@plazacollege.edu. That's info@plazacollege.edu. You.
AM 970, The Answer.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. Here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
And we're on with David L. Trout, who's a certified aging in place specialist. And we're talking about when you should do that, why you should do that. Obviously, if you're not building a new home, if you're building a new home, you can have that all put in before it's built. But if you have an old home, an older home, you want to get David, and he's going to give you, again, and I will post it on a site, how you can reach him. And you can also buy, he's the author of Age in Place at Home, Adapting the Home Environment for All. So what are some of the most common things that you would do in, like, kitchens and bathrooms that people would was done or that would help them out?
Sure. Well, the bathroom is basic need room. And the first thing you need to address is toilet accessibility. Do you have enough room to approach that toilet? I find so many homes with little closets for their toilet, you know, and really, when it comes time, and that little closet's got a 2-foot door on it. There's no way you can get in there with any kind of mobility device or whatever. So you remove that closet completely, and you let people have approximately a 5-foot by 5-foot opening so they can have a clear approach to that toilet. That's the number one. And number two is the bathing facility. Either a shower that is a zero entry shower, not a curb, or a tub all of these have to have accompanying grab bars, and you want it to where it has got an approach distance of 30 by 30 in front of it, so you don't have to wind your way in there. You want to be able to have a direct approach to each of the facilities. And then the lattice thing is the, well, first of all, in the shower, you don't want the shower controls too high. They're 48 inches or below, and then a handheld wand works great. Now, you can always have one of those in a tub. If you've got a roll under vanity need, you say you're in a wheelchair, that vanity will have that knee space, but it needs to be 27 inches tall by 32 inches wide. But the height of universal design is really dictated by the reach distance of the client. So, you know, a classic would be 32 inches. But the vanity height is really contingent on their needs. So there's some people that can't reach. They can't reach, you know, 18 to 24 inches in front of them. So you've got to modify it in that respect. But like I say, you want those approach areas, and they can overlap for different facilities.
Right. Now, someone just sent an email saying, well, that's all good, and I'm very interested in it, but how viable is it for older adults to remain in their homes with modifications and live on their own? And that's, to me, a whole other question. I mean, but that's something that's in the, right? I mean,
you're going to live in that home until you can't. But in the interim, there are all kinds of home health people that are available nowadays. If your home's accessible, you can manipulate through it and utilize it. And if you need to bring in someone once a week, twice a week, or whatever, you can do that, even daily. I have some people that have to have daily, you know, visitors coming in. But it keeps you out of the assisted living institutional environment. And you have your freedom from a stringent schedule that someone provides you with. So you've got your independence.
And at the end of the day, those are very expensive. And as you said, because we visited them all, and my father did not want to go to any of them. But some of them were beautiful, but, you know, then it's not your home. You have to do it on their schedule. And if you need help, father eventually did. We started out with somebody in the day, and then eventually he did it at night. But what advice? I mean, I hope you'll come on again, because honestly, I don't think many people do what you do. This is a first for me, and I certainly am going to recommend people do this, because so many people I know don't really want to sell their homes. But they're thinking, you know, maybe I should be in a place that is easier, or I don't have to worry about, you know, certain things. So what advice do you have for anybody who is considering aging in place? It's just a thought now. What would you recommend they do? Contact you? What would you recommend? How do they start to decide if it's for them or not?
Yeah, and it's not for everyone, okay? It's not for everyone. If they're losing abilities to get around the home, I wouldn't even attempt it. But it's a time for people to visit with their family, talk about their future, get everyone involved, because it's like you did. You moved your dad. And before they do that, everybody gets on board. So we're going to modify this home, and we're going to make it so they can utilize it for as long as they can. And, you know, we're aging longer. Modern medicine, you know, people used to die at 40 to 40 years old. That's not happening anymore. So if everybody in the family is on board, then that's the support network that person needs. And the rest of it is common for them. They're staying in their home. They're happy.
Yeah. Gosh, as I said, in retrospect, I wish I had known you then, because my father was miserable when he had a nice place. We got him a nice place, but close to us. But he just loved his home. He loved his neighbors. He loved fiddling around and doing things. So, this is great. And I don't think there's many people that do this. And I think this is so important, especially as you said, people are living longer. You know, they're living long. And so it's something that you have to think about. And you don't want to wait till it's too late. You want to have the plans ahead of time. And as you said, you do not have to do them all at once.
Proactive and stretch it out. And that way, you know, you're not putting out a whole lot of money all at one time. And you can make it safe for you. I get so many calls of, hey, my father is coming out of rehab in 2 days. What can we do? There's nothing we can do. I live in the city of Austin, Texas. It is crazy as far as permitting goes. Everything has to be prepared. Everything has to be submitted. And then we go through the design build for this person. But it's not an instantaneous thing that you can, I don't care what some of these people are doing with these commercials, you're not going to open the door and in one day it's all going to be fixed. It's impossible.
Listen. You have been so informative. I've learned a lot. I hope you'll come back on the show. And before you sign off, where can people find out more about you and your work?
Well, I've got my book, Age in Place at Home, Adapting the Home for All Generations, and that is the multi-generational situation is what that's referring to. And it is available on Amazon. It's been out for almost a year, and that's a good reference, wonderful reference for people. And then I have my website, which is www.tsquareco.com, and on that website I publish periodic blogs that address accessibility, and I also routinely post pictures of relevant jobs on the site. So it's out there, and it's such a niche market. People don't know that it's out there, and you don't know to ask for things. They'll just go, oh, I need a home, but they don't know what to ask for. And that's where people have to be smarter and include the elements, their principles of universal design. If they can put those in that home, they're good. They don't have to worry about future modifications except in extreme circumstances.
Yeah. As I said, I think you're in a niche that I don't find many people, and I'm in the business a long time, and I didn't even know that existed. And that is really a need today because people are living longer. And most people want to live in their home by so many people. So thank you so much. I'm going to post all that information if you didn't get it on my site and also on the site for the radio. And David, you have really been so helpful. Thank you so much. I hope you'll come on again and have a great weekend.
Dottie, I'd be glad to come on anytime because this is my soapbox. I just know there's a better way to build, and that's why the book came about, because people have been after me for years. Why don't you write a book? I've got an in-law, or I've got a cousin, or I've got someone that needs that help. So I did, and that's how it came about.
Have a great weekend. We have a commercial break coming up now. David, have a great weekend, and we'll talk again.
Hello, my friends. Dennis Prager here. You've probably been hearing me talk about why refi for some time now, and yes, many of my colleagues do as well. What makes why refi so different from other investments? Let's quickly break it down. Why refi offers a secure, collateralized portfolio with a strong fixed rate of return up to 10.25%. There is no attack on your principal if you ever need your money back, and you're in control. You can let your investment compound daily or take income, whatever you choose. There are absolutely no fees, and an investment in YRefi is an investment in America's future. Simply call 888-YRefi, that's the letter Y, R-E-F-Y, 24, YRefi 24. That's 888-YRefi 24, and when you call, you won't get a sales pitch, just the info you need to see if YRefi is a better investment option for you. Or log on to investyrefi.com. That's invest the letter Y, then refi, R-E-F-Y.com. And make sure you tell them Dennis Prager sent you.
Unity Bank is dedicated to community-oriented banking and offers a full range of services, including business and personal accounts, business loans, and mortgages. Unity has locations throughout New Jersey and in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, expanding its footprint to 21 retail locations. Grow your savings with their great CD specials. Visit unitybank.com to find out more. Unity Bank is also a great place to work. As Unity Bank President and CEO James Hughes says, the people make Unity Bank a great place to work. We give our employees an opportunity to grow. At Unity Bank, there are no excess layers of bureaucracy as found at Goliath-sized banks. All employees have full access to management with encouragement to make decisions and grow their careers. Visit unitybank.com. That's unitybank.com for current CD and savings specials. They are FDIC insured, an equal opportunity employer, and an equal housing lender. Unity Bank, growing with you. The madness is here, and at Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey, that means slam dunk savings all month long. Our buddy Alex Kinsella, he's the general manager at Route 22 Toyota, called to fill us in on all the madness going on, like zero down leases on all your favorite Toyota models and low 2.99% APR financing for up to 72 months. Plus, at Route 22 Toyota, everyone drives thanks to their goal of 100% credit approval. Call them at 973-705-8905 to get pre-approved today. Again, that's 973-705-8905 to get pre-approved for a loan on a brand new Toyota from Route 22 Toyota. It's all part of their slam dunk savings going on right now, where you can save with the madness of zero down leases and low 2.99% APR financing for up to 72 months. Go see Alex and his team at Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey, and remember to tell them Joe Piscopo sent you.
Subject to primary lender approval, not all buyers will qualify financing on select new Toyota models through Toyota Financial Services. See deal for details. Expires April 1st, 2024.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back. And I'm accepting Thomas Drew, who is the regional vice president at Citizens, to be on shortly. But just to wrap up the part that we just went through with aging in place with David Trout, that is really a field that there's, I don't know if too many people in it, and I do know that so many people would like to do that and want to age in place. And whether you do it or not, just if you get the book, it explains how you can eliminate accessibility problems in a common sense way and avoid moving from your home and, accommodate all your changing needs and not leave your neighbors. And for a lot of people, that's a very good option. Some people, it's not. Different strokes for different folks. Now I'm thrilled to have, he's no stranger to our show because he's been on plenty, like over the years, Thomas Drew, Regional Vice President of Citizens Bank. Good, I guess I say good afternoon. It's almost 12.
It is. It is. I'm so glad to be back, Dottie. How are you?
Oh, I always want you on. And look, financing is, part of buying a home. So let me ask you some quick questions because basically the current rates now, I was doing some research last night for something, and of course they would say mortgage rates are coming down. Then I read somebody else saying they're not coming down. And again, it's not a science. No one knows exactly. What are they now, and what is your feel of where they're going.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're always a moving target, but this past week has been a pretty good week for mortgage rates. For the prior weeks, it didn't look so hot, but this past week we came down below 7%, somewhere around the mid sixes on a 30-year fixed. So obviously, traditionally, that's very good. And there's a tremendous amount of interest in buying homes, Dottie. I've been to a few open houses where, they're not the ultra, high end, but, homes that, anywhere from like, say, 400 to a million, there are lines around the block to get in to see them. So there's certainly a ton of interest in home ownership. There's just not that much inventory, right? We still kind of go back to that.
Right? You're mimicking, that's what I said, there's no inventory. There's more buyers than there is inventory, so it's simply a seller's market. What is the most popular product that you're dealing with? What would you say when you're dealing with mortgages now, what is the most popular type of mortgage people are getting? Is it still a conventional 30-year?
Yeah, I would say the 30-year fixed conventional is probably the most popular, but in the last year or so, there are more individuals, especially if you're borrowing larger sums of money, are looking at adjustable rate mortgages with the thought or the plan that, hey, rates will come down in the next, 6 to 12 months. So why finance for 30 years when you're most likely going to refinance anyway? But to answer your question, the majority of people still take 30-year fixed because they don't want to gamble at all. But, the more savvy, I think, individuals who have financial wherewithal, they may roll the dice a little bit on an adjustable, but it's still going to be fixed for 7 or 10 years before it adjusts. So there's some safety in that as well.
Yeah. Well, I took an adjustable rate when the interest rates were 15.5%, something of that nature, a 5-year ARM, because I couldn't afford the 30. And I just got lucky because every time it adjusted, it was, a decent rate. What would you say, Thomas, are the biggest mistakes that people make when they're looking to get a big financing or a mortgage?
Yeah, I think potentially borrowing too much, right? Like becoming house poor is something you definitely want to avoid. I mean, just because the bank will lend you, up to 45% or so of your gross monthly income doesn't mean you should take it. Because there's on paper is one thing, but the reality is there are other expenses that aren't factored into that, right? Like, your food and your electric and, if you need to take care of some kind of medical thing or travel someplace or do whatever. So I always tell people, look, there's a max that we'll approve you for, but then there's somewhere closer to like, hey, do you still want to have a life and not just own a home? Right. So I try to caution people, to look at that and take that seriously.
So you should look at how much they'll lend you, but at the end of the day, it should be what you're comfortable in paying. So even if they'll lend you more, but you feel maybe, I have to give up going out, this and that, then you might want to maybe buy a cheaper house or do an adjustable or something of that nature. Okay.
Yeah, save up some more money to put down.
Yeah.
All those things, right? I say, hey, look, we'll get you approved for this, but in reality, let's look at what that means, after your paycheck, every other week, right? What do you have left to actually live on? And that's just any advice I give to, the customer, my family, my son who's looking at a house, right? I give them all the same advice, like, let's talk about everything because everything's gone up, right? The baseline for just cost of living has gone up. So you have to factor all that in.
Listen, I grew up in the days where you could get a mortgage where there was like no income check. You could say, oh, I make $2 million. I didn't check your income. Okay, as long as your credit was good. But it's key. What are some of the hidden fees, Tom, that people might not know about, that they're unaware of when they take out a mortgage? And can they, what are some of those things that people, that are hidden fees that most people are not aware of?
Well, when most people try to find out what interest rates are, they're not asking about all the other costs involved, right? And they're not necessarily hidden because you'll see them on a loan estimate from a lender, but they may be not anticipated, right? So, hey, you need to borrow money, especially in the state of New York. What are you going to pay? You're going to pay mortgage tax. You're going to pay that to the county. If you happen to buy something in the five boroughs, you might have to pay New York City mortgage tax, right? So title costs, right? That could be fairly expensive. Recording fees. You have to record your mortgage, your deed. And then all the people that are involved in the transaction, right? Attorneys that need to get paid. There's a title closer has to get paid. And just there's a lot you need to be prepared for when you're agreeing to purchase a home, right? And not just assume it's, you know, just a couple of percent extra, right, for closing costs. So it could be up to 5% of the purchase price based on where you're purchasing that property. And that's something that people need to be aware of. And again, a lender can give you a loan estimate so you can factor that in. But, hey, you know what? Some of the things like escrows may adjust depending on the time of year you close and when certain taxes are due, you know, like the school taxes on Long Island have gone through the roof, right? So that's a pretty big bill that's coming up that may have to get factored in at closing. So there's a lot of things, a lot of moving targets that happen on every single property. But I think the more you know and the more you understand, the better it is going in. So you're prepared in the event that it's more than what you anticipated.
Yes, and I tell people that all the time before you even look. You should go to someone like Tom. And Tom, before I continue asking you more things, questions, how do people reach you?
Yeah, best way is send me an email. I respond to email very quickly, thomas.drew@citizensbank.com. Be happy to help you. And, okay. You know, look, Donnie, I think housing affordability is a major topic, right? That everyone's talking about. And there are some ways to still, you know, get some help to get into homes, down payment assistance, closing cost assistance. So there are programs out there. People just need to educate themselves. There may, in fact, be some cases where you could assume the loan of the person selling the home. There are some loans that actually are assumable mortgages.
I'm sorry to, I'm interrupting you. I don't mean to. It's just that I'm time is running out. And this is a question someone just sent me. Please ask Thomas, what's the difference between a pre-approval and a commitment letter?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's probably the simplest way to respond is a pre-approval is done by a loan officer where they're reviewing your income, assets, and credit. A commitment letter goes to the underwriter at the bank, right, the decision maker at the lending institution, and they approve what was submitted to them, the application with the income, assets, and credit from the loan officer and the customer. So commitment is, hey, you know, the lender is giving their approval, right, commitment from an officer of the bank to lend you the money for your transaction. Whereas a pre-approval is, hey, we've reviewed everything, and based on the guidelines of the bank, you've got a very high probability of getting a commitment. So there's definitely a difference between the two.
So when you have a commitment letter, and that's why I tell everyone do this ahead of time before you even look. When you're going to go, we talked throughout the show or through every week, I tell you there's a shortage of homes and there are more buyers than sellers. So the seller's got a choice to pick the best person. So if you have a commitment letter rather than just a pre-approval, when your broker goes to negotiate for you, he can say, this Sally Herman has a commitment letter, she's approved, and she's approved for this amount of money, so you don't have to wonder if she'll get a mortgage or not. Because if you're a seller, you have to always wonder, gee, I hope they can get a mortgage if there's a financing contingency. And I know we're running out of time, but about how long does that whole process take between, you know, to get approved and ready to be funded? Like how early?
Yeah, so once a complete application is taken and the underwriter's had a chance to review, that's generally from, you know, start to the underwriter reviewing it a week to 2 weeks, right, for them.
Thomas, you have to come back next week and finish. so important, okay?
The preceding hour of programming paid for by DTHY Realty Incorporated.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.